connected to the internet. I am connected to the internet.
Stream is live.
Stream is live. Let me get on here. Do the obligatory. Tap in. We're here. Oh, man. It's got my Twitter timeline.
Oh, my Facebook's up right now, too. But it doesn't tag, right?
No, I can. I guess if you wanted to go to like the podcast page and see if you can share it.
I just shared it just from my Facebook.
Yep, that'll work. I think, is it next week? No, it's not next week. I think it's 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, we join JC's pod.
Yeah.
All right. I think, let me do this.
Oh, what did I do? I shared the wrong thing? Oh, no. It didn't share the whole thing. Okay. Boom, boom, boom. Shook his pride.
Make sure I don't. All right. We ready to rock and roll. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, no matter where you may find yourself as you listen to this and you are tuning into the only sports podcast with brains and bars. It's a Black and White Thing featuring A1 and A-Ward. Please remember you can check out every episode of It's a Black and White Thing by going to the podcast app of your choice, searching for It's a Black and White Thing or for Brains and Bars, liking the content, give us 5 stars, share the content. You can also find us live on YouTube as well every Tuesday or Thursday around 7 o'clock Central Time. Please hit the notification bell, subscribe, and share that broadcast. Tell a friend to tell a friend. It's those boys again. Make sure you hit the like button as well if I didn't say that. And as usual, I'm joined by the homie A-Ward. What's going on with you, man?
We're in the building, man. We're in the building. Getting closer and closer to the NFL draft. College basketball is now done. And now it's the time period where everything is crazy. So, the week of new coaches and transfer portals and all that good stuff. Yeah, we got A-Ward versus Tay Rock coming up in 17 days in Orlando on a riot. That's exciting. And then we got some hip hop to talk about tonight too. A little bit of hip hop to talk about. And then I don't know if you want to, I feel like in the last few years you have rekindled your, I don't even know if it's a rekindle because I'm not sure if, but your love for wrestling, for professional wrestling.
Oh, yeah. We got to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So, I still will watch it if it's something, I'll check it out or whatever, but I'm not following, I don't even know who's on what leagues now or any of that kind of stuff. Like I was a Portland fan up until probably, 2002, and so since then I've just dabbed in it a little bit, but yeah, so maybe we can talk about WrestleMania. I'm assuming that you watched it. I watched a decent portion of it. And so, yeah, we got a lot to speak about today.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, I've definitely gotten back into wrestling. We will talk about the reason why I got back into wrestling. Shout out to Mama Ward in the building.
Mama, you gonna have to explain it.
Yeah. Slow it down. She just dissed you.
Think she's saying it's a Black and White Thing. So like I look familiar. I'm the white part of the team. Maybe. She hasn't seen me in a minute. I don't know.
But so definitely want to talk about WrestleMania, man. The thing about wrestling. Well, first of all, you said you don't know what leagues I'm into. Listen, WWE is the URL, is the only league that matters. Truly the only league that matters. No offense to TNA. TNA still around. No offense to AEW. I'm not wasting a minute of my time watching those shows. It is all about the WWE for me. But yes, we will talk WrestleMania. Before we get into the raps, let's just start there. Let's just start at WrestleMania. Definitely a dope event. I have to say, right, like I'm not a hardcore fan. Shout out to the homie Iller. He follows it a lot more. Shout out to my homie, David Reese. He recently started a wrestling podcast. I have to go and look it up so I can make sure we give him a shout out. But like those guys, like David for sure watches. I mean, he's watching New Japan Wrestling. He's watching Ring of Honor, right? Like, he is tapped into the scene in ways I am not, right? So if you are a wrestling fan and you watch this and you're like, you're butchering it, listen, I'm a WWE guy who, as of like a year ago, really got back into wrestling. But what was your thoughts on WrestleMania? Like, what did you think of it overall? Man,
you know, the last time I watched the WrestleMania was, geez, I want to say 5-6 years ago, maybe. So, you know, I haven't seen one in a while. And even back then, it was kind of the same. It was kind of the same thing. Like, you bring the old guys back, you know, for like the final match, because they're the nostalgia of, you know, the heyday of, you know, yeah. It just cracks me up because I think about, like, what if, like, you know, if it's fourth down and 10 yards, you know, in the national championship of college football, and all of a sudden you could just throw Peyton Manning in there, quarterback for Tennessee, and you're like, oh, you know, like, that's the idea of what they do in, like, professional wrestling. It's like all these other guys, like, continue to keep it running, and then in the biggest, you know, pay-per-view of the year, it's like, here's The Undertaker, here's The Rock, here's John Cena. I thought, you know, man, just the intros, like the coming to the ring and everything. Like, first off, there's terms for these things that I don't even know what they are. But, like, it was 20 minutes to get four guys to the ring on day one. Like, it was literally 20 to 25 minutes to get four guys to the ring. And I thought to myself, wow, this is what it feels like in battle rap. You know, like, this is the same Loaded Lux's entourage is trying to get on stage. But it was entertaining. The matches that I watched were entertaining. You know, I watched some of the table match where that Bubba Ray Dudley was the guest referee of.
Yep.
You know, I watched the headlining matches. I watched the AJ Styles match, but it was entertaining. It was fun. They were at Lincoln Financial, right?
Yep, in Philly. Yep. They were in Philly.
I thought that was just a really cool, like, aesthetic. You know, like, I just, you know, it was this huge field, you know, the ring, everything. And then, yeah, you know, once you hear the Undertaker's theme music, you're immediately a kid again, you know? I think about it as, like, when you're playing Mario Kart and that lightning bolt, like, hits the car, and then all of a sudden you just shrink to, like, the little bitty car or whatever. Like, I that's my metaphor for, like, the Undertaker's theme music. Like, you're this old man, and then you just get hit with it, and you're just, now all of a sudden you're just little again, and you're just kind of like, holy, and I literally jumped up off my couch like, oh, you know. And so but yeah, you know, it was entertaining, man. It was definitely good. I don't follow the whole storyline of the Cody Rhodes, and I don't understand the whole bloodline thing with Roman Reigns. I kind of got out of wrestling before he ever even, you know, was a wrestler. But it seems like, you know, that still engaging their fans and keeping everybody, like, you know, on the edge of their seat.
Yeah, man. So I've watched a lot. You know, it's funny. So my son's birthday was last Wednesday. So this weekend we had a couple of – his weekend was filled with, like, different events or whatever. And so we took
– saw one of your cousins at church. Did you say she's on me?
Yeah. So her she has twin boys.
Yeah.
So her twin boys, they are, I think, like, 8 or 9. And they and their dad, they're diehard wrestling fans.
Oh, cool.
We had so many boys that we couldn't fit them all in one car, so I had to pick them up. We're riding to Urban Air for them to go jump around, right? Urban Air is like 25 minutes both ways from our house and back, right? Whole time, like, we could have had them on the podcast for them to talk WrestleMania, because they get in the car and they're like, so who you got? And so we start talking. And we're going back and forth about, you know, who's going to win, what this means if they win, what the storylines will be. And it was hilarious just listening to these kids talk. I mean, because they know their stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, it was a really, really good event. I watched most of – dang, did I watch the whole thing? I might have watched the entire thing. Now I think about it. No, that's not true. I missed the very beginning of night one, and I missed the very beginning of – no, that's not true. I watched almost all of night two, because night two, I believe,
it started out with Seth Rollins,
McIntyre, right? And Seth Rollins, right? Yeah. And so, to me, my favorite moment of the night is of night two, when McIntyre wins the belt, he defeats Seth Rollins, he's taunting CM Punk. CM Punk starts to beat him up, and
that
then
was so awesome,
man. When Damian Priest, when the Judgment Day music hits, and I'm just like, oh my! Like, I jump up off, like he jumped up for the Undertaker. I jump up off my couch and go, oh my God, he's fine. Drew, I'm sorry, Drew. Damian Priest has had that Money in the Bank briefcase for almost a year. Like, I've been making fun of him because I'm like, bro, you're just, this briefcase is just an accessory for you now. Like, you're never, Money in the Bank is in like 3 months. Are you going to cash this thing in before the next Money in the Bank? Like, because you can't carry it into the next year. This is a rollover minutes, right? Like, you got to use it. And so to see him
matured, it's like, you know, it's like,
man, So to see him cash in and to win the belt, and take it from McIntyre, which to me, that carries that storyline on with the feud between him and CM Punk. I don't know how long Damian Priest is going to have this belt. I know he has the, he's fighting a main event Jey Uso on, I think, next Raw next week for the title. So who knows how long he will keep it. But that was my favorite moment of the night. And then, you know, first of all, I don't know if they can see. Let me back up. Let me put the one up, man. Let me salute the tribal chief, my tribal chief. My champion.
You gonna have to stay Roman on Tay Rock's side, man. You got to stand on Tay Rock's side, bro. y'all.
Man, I gotta salute my tribal chief. Listen, man, like, so I wanted, I talked about
maybe
this.
Maybe I should dress up as Cody Rhodes for the battle. You know what? I think I just found my gimmick. I think my first gimmick in battle rap.
I got respect for Cody Rhodes as a man, as a wrestler. I am not a fan. Like, I don't think Cody Rhodes is interesting. I think his work on his mic work is just like, it is very politician-like. It is not for me. And let me tell you something. As a kid who grew up watching wrestling, I never thought I would identify with the heel or that I would cheer for the heel. Like, I was always for the faces, right?
Yeah.
The Stings, the Hulk Hogan's, right? The Macho Man, Ricky the Dragon Sting. Like, I was for those guys. And so about a year ago, I forget, it wasn't WrestleMania. I forget the event, but everybody on my timeline was going crazy about this bloodline story. And so I'm like, what is this bloodline? Like, what are y'all talking about? My brother is talking about it. And so I started to kind of play some catch up and look at the history of Roman Reigns. And if you know the history of Roman, like, he was, WWE tried to push him as the face of the company, the ultimate baby face, and the fans revolted. They booed him. They did not want him to be the face. He had leukemia. He steps away for a year to deal with leukemia. He's had, I think he said, for like 11 years at the time. He comes back, and when he comes back as the head of the table, the tribal chief, right? This new heel persona. And he is incredible as a heel. Like, the crowd is literally divided, right? When that music hits and you hear like that chant from that first notes, and you see immediately half the crowd is standing up with their ones in the air. The other half is booing. Like, he is a good type of polarizing. He's what you want as a heel, right? And the way he talks trash, the way he carries himself, that Bloodline saga brought me back into wrestling. And I never thought I would be at this age still watching wrestling, right? But I am all in. Like, I am all in. And it is because of Roman Reigns. And let me give credit to the creative team, the writers there, Triple H. They have crafted a story, even the story of Cody versus Roman. Again, I'm not a huge Cody fan. But I think the work that he
hit him with the, when I seen him
the bionic elbow.
No.
Yeah,
oh
yeah, you know, so I'm not a huge Cody fan, but I think
the
work that he's done in that feud with Roman and with the Bloodline, I think it is, I have to salute them and what they've done, because like I said, they brought me back to wrestling and I am all in. I'm invested. I joked that, you know, if Cody won, I wasn't going to watch anymore. I'm going to continue to watch. I just don't think that the fans wanted him to win the belt, but I just think they love the idea of him having that belt. And I think they're going to ultimately, unless the creative team, WWE creative, has some really dope plans in store, I think they're going to go bored with it. But yeah, WrestleMania was dope. Shout out to Jay Cargill, Naomi, Bianca Belair, you know, Jade is fire. Shout out to them. I watched that match. I'm trying to think. What else did I watch? I'll say for the main event, I did think it got hokey. So apparently it was supposed to be Stone Cold and not The Undertaker. But at that point, I think I put in a group chat, I was like, somebody was like, oh man, The Undertaker showed up. This is fire. And I'm like, and this is why Gnome 30.
Yeah.
We're going to get Clips versus Goods 10 because people just cannot let go of the past. But it was fire to have The Rock there, The Rock, heel Rock, Hollywood Rock showing up. And even as a heel, he still gets love. Like, for as much he's supposed to be the bad guy, but when that, if you smell. Still electrifying. What they've done with his entrance, the way they remixed his intro with the final boss aesthetic, fire. And I can't wait. I'm pretty sure next WrestleMania, we're going to get Cody Rhodes versus The Rock, and, or maybe SummerSlam. I don't know. But at some point, we're going to get, because that feud, which I have to salute the fans for, they helped create that organically, and it's going to be something to behold. So again, shout out to everybody. Shout out to WWE. Shout out to Cody, Roman. I can't wait to see what they do with his story next and where he goes, who he feuds with next. But it's going to be like, wrestling is in a great place. Like, they really, I think they, the numbers came back and they said that that was the most streamed event in Peacock history. I think they said over a billion. And I think some of them,
was it pay-per-view Peacock, or if you just had Peacock, you could watch it?
No, if you have Peacock, you get the event. So if you pay like $5 for Peacock.
Wow.
$5 a month, man. You get the entire WWE catalog, right? So you can go back. Part of what got me into wrestling, again, was COVID. When COVID happened, I want to say when I got sick with COVID, I was in the hospital. I think I started watching, the Royal Rumble might have just taken place. And so I started watching all the Royal Rumbles, and I started a thread on Twitter.
You got COVID. You're in the hospital. You know, the pearly gates are next. And what you wanted to watch, you got up there. Was some wrestling.
Listen, there was a lot of Bible reading because I there was a lot of scripture reading while I was in that hospital. But I was like, I can't read the scripture for 24 hours a day. I got to do something while I'm in here by myself. And so I think I wanted to say I started
the second option.
That was the second option. I started watching Royal Rumbles and live tweeting like how I felt about them. And so I think that was the genesis of me getting back into wrestling, was that moment right there. So, yeah, man, like, super fun event, man. Y'all let me know what y'all think about WrestleMania. Is it the greatest WrestleMania of all time that they said? I haven't seen every WrestleMania to compare. It was pretty high, though. The two main events between, you know, Cody and Seth versus Rock and, excuse me, Roman was fire. So let me know what y'all think, man. Your favorite moments. Yep. What did y'all like? And we can go from there. Hold on. I need to go grab some water because I have a cough.
I'll take care of it from here. Good evening, guys. Talking wrestling. I used to think it was real until I went to a live match. I left it too.
It's entertainment, though. They've done a better job of, granted, you can still see where they're like, okay, I'm ready. I'm in place.
Yeah.
Hit me. You know, but I think they've done a good job with the entertainment and the acting. And this is why my wife is the best.
Man.
The GOAT. The GOAT.
I want $1 million.
But yeah, that's hilarious. I want $1 million. I wish. But I think finding out that it wasn't real kind of, well, that's not true because the Attitude Era, I was locked in. Although I'll say this about the Attitude Era. When you had the Ministry Taker, I don't know if you remember when he had the ministry and he was like putting people up on crosses and stuff like that.
Yep.
I was like, y'all tapping into something I don't know if y'all should be messing with. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. But anyway, y'all let us know what y'all think about that, man. Let's get into this J. Cole thing. So if you haven't been paying attention, if you've been under a rock somewhere, Kendrick Lamar on a feature for Metro Boomin and Future, like that. He drops a diss record. Talking about Drake, and more so, he was firing on Drake. He had a couple of pew pews at J. Cole. The entire hip hop community was waiting to see what the response would be from Drake and Cole. Cole last week drops a record, 7-minute drill, where he takes shots at Kendrick. You know, jabs. I think Kendrick jabbed at Cole. Cole jabbed back. Nothing crazy. Yeah. And Dreamville was this weekend, this past weekend, and at Dreamville, he apologized for shooting at Kendrick, said, you know, he couldn't sleep, he felt sick about what he had done, he wanted, I don't know if the verse has been removed from, or the song has been removed from streaming. He said he wanted the song removed from streaming, and it has caused a lot of interesting reaction to those in hip hop. So I'm going to start with you. I'm going to give you the ISO, and you tell me, like, what were your thoughts when you found out that Cole had retracted his diss and he was said, hey, stop the violence. I'm a man of peace. What do you think?
Boo! That's what I think. Are you serious, my guy? Like, first of all, it's not even that deep. You guys didn't even like we come from an era of the Jay-Z and Nas, the, you know, like, I'm talking like straight disrespectful diss tracks. Like, this, what y'all did was like a little almost indirect, subtle, you know, jab back and forth. And you know what that reminds me of? I think J. Cole's gotta be a vegan. He must just be a vegan. That's just what it is. That was the most it's upset his stomach. What was it? Chicken broth, like in your soup or something? Like you couldn't sleep at night because you were thinking about how you said he was overrated. Like, bro, what? Like, come on, man. Like, I didn't like it at all. I thought it was super, super silly. Now, one thing you can't ever tell a man is, like, to not, you know, if something doesn't sit well with their spirit or their soul, to not go out and say something. But my goodness, if Dreamville wasn't this weekend, how would he have apologized? You know, like, I'm kind of curious as to that. But yeah, I thought it was super, super lame. Super, like, people say, oh, but he apologized. He really felt like he apologized. For what? There was no apology needed. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't even say anything crazy. It's not like he said the dude's address or called out his mom or anything like that. Like, you know, to come back a few days later and apologize after, bro, you sat there and recorded it. You wrote it. You recorded it. You know what I mean? Like, we're battle rappers. We write. We rehearse. We record. And then you want to come back and say, I'm sorry. You had so many times to be sorry. So many times. You were probably punched in on a song and didn't say sorry. You know what I mean? I didn't like it at all. I thought it was just like, especially while you're dropping a mixtape or an album. I don't even know what these are.
Same thing. Essentially a mixtape.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, that's really smart. You know, like you could have just, you know, you could have bowed out after this and just not said anything and everything would have been fine. You know, it would be like, oh, J. Cole got his little jabs off, but he's not really about that battle life. But now people talk about, I'm deleting your catalog. I'm not listening to the album. I don't even want to hear J. Cole's, you know, fall off or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you literally created a situation for what? Because you got your stomach upset because there must have been some chicken broth in your soup and you're vegan, you know. I don't get it. I don't get it, man. I don't get it.
Man, Where do I begin? So we just talked about WrestleMania. J. Cole, did you ever watch WrestleMania? You ever watch wrestling growing up? I mean, you're from the South, so I have to assume that you watch wrestling or wrestling, however you want to define it, right? Yeah, are you, J. Cole, have you heard of the term shooting in wrestling, or a shoot in wrestling, right? It's where it's an unplanned, unscripted, real-life occurrence within wrestling, right? So sometimes you might mean you throw that punch, you actually clock him. Seth Rollins, right? He got a black eye because one of those claymores from Drew McIntyre connected for real, right? So, you know, unintended consequences. This from Kendrick was an unintended consequence. You were collateral damage because he's really shooting at Drake, right? He's at Drake and he's like, pow, 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 pow at you. Yeah. You came back and pow, pow back. Good, right? You cannot sit on these records and say, if Jesus asked for a feature, I'm going to hell. You cannot sit on these records and say, I am the best rapper alive, that I'm the best in the game. And if you test me, if you try me, I'm going to flame you. If you say that you have the crown, what comes with that crown are challengers, right? This is what comes with that. And the fact that you do all this boasting and bragging about how you're the top dog, pardon the pun, how you're the best in the game. And the first time one of your peers, right? Because not just anybody can shoot at you. one of your peers, which you said were in the big three, said, bump the big three, it's just Big Me. Excuse me. And the fact that he talked about, oh man, about you walking with this this stick. There's a line in First Person Shooter with Cole and Drake where he talks about he's got a stick and he's I forget the reference that Kendrick made, but he basically says that he called it Andre 3000's flute. Like, that's the stick you're walking with. You're not walking with a gun. You got this flute. Like, he, again, nothing crazy. And you came out here and you say this
crazy here now that he apologized. Now it's like, damn, he knew something about you. Like,
yeah, like this is what comes with being carrying that crown. And so for me going forward, listen, I'm not going as far to say I'm not going to listen to J. Cole's catalog, or I made the joke about deleting his entire catalog out of my library. I didn't make that joke, but I'm not doing that. I'm going to listen to The Fall Off when it drops. I'm going to keep listening to Born Sinner and Forest Hills Drive, you know, The Fall Off, all these albums. I'm going to continue listening. But I don't want to ever hear again about how lyrically you are better, because one of your peers invited you to prove that. And you sent, again, soft jabs. Not even, again, like you said, this wasn't Ether. It wasn't Takeover. It wasn't Hit 'Em Up.
It wasn't Hit 'Em Up.
It wasn't even Drake's Duppy Freestyle. Like, it wasn't Charged Up.
It wasn't Back to Like, Back. It wasn't.
Nothing. Nothing of the sort. Name the record, the diss record. It wasn't anything close. Just a nice little opener, right, to prepare us for what was to come. And the fact that you said, oh, you can get your diss back on the house. Like, you get one for free. Man, if I was Kendrick, I was straight. I don't know if you ever watched Dragon Ball Z.
Nope.
Dragon Ball Z, there's just like one of the most devastating moves is when Goku gets a spirit bomb. Spirit, like, he's summoning the entire energy of the earth, the old spirits. Listen, I'm not an anime guy, so don't crucify me here, Dragon Ball people. But he is summoning every ounce of energy he has to destroy you. If I'm Kendrick and you said, oh, I get a free shot, oh, I'm not taking jabs on this one. I am about to bomb on you. I'm about to go crazy because you essentially stood up there and went Tory Doe and said,
round.
I am about to bomb on you. Like, listen, J. Cole, I don't know if you ever watched Battle Rap. Let me let you in on a little secret here. Come closer. Get close to the screen. These guys are friends in real life. They don't really hate each other. Mm-hmm. They just talk crazy to each other because they get paid really well to do it. Like, there are very few people in Battle Rap who dislike each other. We watched Chilla Jones and Real Deal go crazy against each other for two battles at King of the Dot. One of the best.
That was the third time battling too.
Third time for the chain twice. Two highly debatable, highly competitive back and forth between friends. I have no idea what it was like after the fact, right? Like, I don't know if maybe they had to take a couple of weeks off because look, you want your competitors, right? You want to win. But again, after a while, they came back, they were able to talk to each other, have a good time, all this good stuff, right? I even think about you and me. We played rec league ball, right? Yeah. Church league ball. We had one of the best games in rec league, church rec league history of that league, right? Double overtime.
Ah.
We both had opportunities to win the game, right? And great back and forth. Your team prevails at the end. You know, great game. I am hot. I'm mad we lost this game. And at the end, you go, yo, before we go, man, let's just pray. And I'm like, in my mind, pray? Pray? Like, let me tell you what was on my mind when you said that. This was on my mind when you said that. I ain't trying to hear about no prayer right now. Cuz, you kidding me? You for real right now? You
talking about some prayer. Score? Is he going to change the score? Well, if not.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to hear that. You know what I'm saying? and so, you know what I'm saying? So, like, you can have good competition with your guy. If Kendrick is still your guy, that's your man, that's cool, right? If you don't want to pick a side, if you feel like you're caught in the middle between Drake and Kendrick, and you don't want to you want to get out the crossfire, that's fine. But dog, you got to stand on what you say. Like Young Bleed said, all I got is what? My balls and my word. Mm-hmm. You got to stand on what you say, man. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think, I don't know is this, 20 to 30 years ago, this would be career ending.
I'd be curious to know if he talked this through with anybody. Or if he was just up there in the moment on Dreamville stage and was like, Streams was there, by the way, live. Shout out to Streams. He was at Dreamville that weekend, you know, watching it all happen. But it's like, you were up on a stage or whatever, because I can't imagine that he was like, yo, Drake, y'all finna apologize tomorrow. You know what I mean? Drake was like, yo, wait, what? You know what I mean? Or if he was like, you know, his agents or the label or whatever, you know, like, hey, by the way, you know.
What? He said his homies. No, he did talk. He did say he was going to do it because his homies was like, I can hear him off stage saying, don't do it. Don't do it. So they knew he was going to do it. And my thing is just if you felt that way, you like you said,
listen to
you
the felt homies.
That way when listen you punched
the
in.
Homies. You know, I got a friend of mine. We were at a house party one night. It was a Halloween house party. And I had noticed he was like vibing, like feeling this girl one time. Right. Like he was like, yo, I like her. I'm going to holler at her. But I also knew that that girl was it was not reciprocated. You know what I mean? Mm. And so he's telling me, you know, boom, boom, boom. And I'm just like chilling at the party. You know what I mean? We kicking it or whatever. And so she leaves to go to her car, you know, and I remember there's like, you know, about 12 steps. You got to go down in the apartment complex, go out the door to go out the next door, whatever. She's going to her car and I see a look in his eyes. And he's making his way to the door to follow her to the car. And I just remember saying, don't do it, Vince. Don't do it like that. And I remember that we still to this day yell out, don't do it, Vince. And that's my dog. That's my dog. But sometimes you got to tell your mans, don't do it. Sometimes the homies know best.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All I say is this. To me, what Cole talking about, well, it didn't sit right with me tearing down this man's catalog. But I'm like, okay, are you about to become a Christian rapper then? Because are you no longer going to tear? Are you about to join the Horsemen? Yeah. I'm pretty sure if you say I want to be down with the crew, I'm pretty sure they have no problem putting you on the express lane to join the crew.
We're going to put everything under a microscope from here on out. Oh, you said this on Fallout. So that sat well with you. You know what I mean?
Like, right. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm like, bro, I'm listening to this EP, excuse me, and you're calling women out of their name.
Yeah.
You're talking about y'all ain't got no money like that on Johnny P's caddy. You're talking about, you know, these drug dealers fabricating these stories, and they think you as hard as you are because they're like, where do we draw the line here, Jay? So I don't know, man. Like, I...
Somehow you made Daylight the realest person on that song. Somehow you managed to make Daylight the realest person on this song.
Yo, listen. I anticipate what happens next. Allegedly, Drake is supposed to drop tonight.
Allegedly, yep. We'll see.
So we'll see. And I'm this is all speculation and you know conjecture, but apparently it's supposed to be like a bomb. So we'll see. We'll see what happens, man. Let me know what y'all think. Like, let me say this last thing. All of y'all talking about. I applaud his maturity. I applaud. He did the right thing. No, he did not do the right thing. The right thing was not to reply.
He didn't do the wrong thing. You know what I mean? Like,
the right thing was not to respond at all if you felt that way. He didn't really shoot at you for real. You didn't have to say anything. You could have just let him and Drake fight it out. That's number one. And excuse me. But yeah, like I'm not saying that maturity is not a good thing. But like you said, this wasn't some crazy record where Kendrick went crazy on his family and calling people out their name. He didn't do the same. Just don't respond, bro. But let us know what y'all think, man. How y'all call it? What do you think about Kendrick? What Kendrick's verse? What do you think about Cole and his response and him apologizing? I'm gonna say this after coming out the door. I don't think To Pimp a Butterfly is. How should I phrase this? I do think that fans have overhyped it. I think it's a great album. I do think it's a little bit overhyped. To me, it's at the back end of Kendrick's discography. I'm a Good Kid, Mad City guy, Section 80 guy, Damn guy, and then Big Stepper and To Pimp a Butterfly are at the back end of his solo catalog for me. I have more thoughts on Kendrick. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yikes.
This is Austin... Listen, this is Austin Bourne.
I'm not a Kendrick fan. I don't listen to a lot of Kendrick, but Damn and Good Kid, Mad City, And To Pimp a Butterfly, to me, you're like three albums that I could listen to. I actually haven't listened to Big Steppa or the other one, so because I'm just not a Kendrick guy.
Austin Lawrence says Kendrick only has one good album. Austin, I would love to know what that one good album is. I think you're wrong, by the way. I think Section 80, Good Kid, Damn, and To Pimp a Butterfly are fire. I also think that Big Steppa is fire. It's just, it's a really dense album. He's talking about a lot of heavy things. His infidelity issues, transgenderism, sexual assault. Like, he's talking about a lot. Daddy issues. It's deep. It's okay. Heavy. And so, like, I feel like even with To Pimp a Butterfly, like, it gets a little heavy at times. And so it's like one of those things where, like, I'm not clamoring to listen to that because I like my life. I'm happy. I'm happy with my life. I don't do recreational sadness unless you make it bang. So, like, Kanye's 808 Heartbreaks. Listen, you might catch me in traffic at the top of my voice, you know, I don't want no RoboCop. You move like, bro, like, I'll sing Bad News, see you in my nightmares. What? Like, I know Wayne verse by heart. Like,
yeah.
Excuse me. Good Kid, Mad City is the only album that Austin. Listen, I would say go listen to Section 80. Section 80's fire. To me, Damn is a record that he got so much backlash for how artsy fartsy. Good that To Pimp a Butterfly was, and he was like, oh, you want an album full of bangers? I can give you an album full of bangers. So anyway, I could keep going on Kendrick, but let's move on to some other topics. So let's jump real quick into the world of college basketball. This past weekend and then Monday, the South Carolina women's basketball team completed their perfect season, capping off a second national title of even 3 years by defeating the Iowa Hawkeyes. And then the UConn men laid the smackdown again on another team, this time Purdue being on the opposite end of that smackdown, winning another game by double digit. I believe all 12 of their tournament wins in this back-to-back run for them have been double digit wins. Let's start with South Carolina, then we'll work our way to UConn. So your thoughts on that game, the South Carolina performance, where you as a fan, like how you rate that particular team and we could talk a little bit about Caitlin Clark and where you think the women's game can go from here. But let's just start with the champs first.
Yeah, you know, I picked South Carolina to win, I believe, last week when we did our podcast. Man, I just thought that the depth that they had and the coaching was going to be the difference. And it was. Like, that really was what it was. 37 bench points to zero. Like, I don't know how you expect to win a game, you know, of that magnitude with no points off of the bench. The one way you possibly can win it is if you have one of the greatest basketball players of all time. However, they didn't. I thought, you know, I did not expect Iowa to come out like that. Like, they came out the gate swinging, you know what I mean? And to the point to where I'm watching it like, oh, this is some kind of destiny. You know what I mean? This is some kind of like, oh, you thought this was a, you know, whatever. Like, I'm kind of bought in, you know, on Iowa in that first quarter. But I watched it the same way I kind of watched the Tennessee and Purdue men's basketball game. I said to myself, when your legs get tired in the fourth quarter and in the third quarter and later in the third quarter, the twos are easier to make than the threes. You know, and a team that is getting their shots and getting near the rim and getting rebounds and getting offensive rebounds and, you know, succeeding in that aspect of the game, those shots are a little easier to get. And, you know, I think you saw Iowa, you know, they got to a point to where they got down and now they're chucking up threes or trying to whatever they can do to get back in the game. But, you know, Dawn Staley, probably top five women's coach of all time, you know, at this point, maybe. If you go with Pat Gino,
I think Tara Vanderveer, Cynthia, trying to think of
not Cynthia, it's CC. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna...
Oh, you're talking about Rutgers coach?
Was it Rutgers coach?
Rutgers, yes, they have. I'm trying to think of her name, I can see her face, but her name's not coming. It definitely starts with the C,
yeah. Who was Texas's coach?
C. Vivian Stringer.
My bad.
And I'm thinking I can Muffet McGraw at Notre Dame.
Muffet McGraw, definitely
legend. Leon. I don't know. I think she's past like a Leon Barmore. I don't know. Man, it's kind of hard to put her past to C. Vivian Stringer because she is.
Yeah.
She's a legend in her own right. But I'll put it to this. Dawn, I think, is, I would say she's probably top 10. Without doing the research and really digging, you know, doing the work of finding out, like, again, Tara Vanderveer, who just retired from Stanford, I don't know if she's passed her yet. I think she has more titles than Tara. I think Tara has two. But again, like, also some of these coaches like Stringer, Barnmore, Tara, Muffet McGraw, like, they all had to deal with the era of Geno and Pat.
Yeah.
Who have what, 19?
Because I think 11 Jody and 8, Conrad, right? Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Jody Conrad from Texas. Yeah.
Ooh, okay. Good pull.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I could see her, but yeah, you're right. You're 19 national championships between them, you know. It's the idea of, like, you know, was it Rick Alderman who always had to play against Phil Jackson? He always had to coach against Phil Jackson. Was it Rick Alderman or is it?
Oh, Adelman. You're talking about like the Portland Trailblazers. I mean, I would say what you're going to have, like, Chuck Daly in Detroit.
And he was with the Kings, and they had played against the Lakers too. Like, literally, Phil against Jackson the Lakers, put Adelman out of the playoffs like every a lot. Year. You know what I mean? And so there's a lot of coaches that Geno and Pat did that to over, you know, a couple of decades. But I say all that to say, you know, incredible game, fun game to watch from the beginning to the end. You know, I don't think you ever felt like, with Caitlin Clark on the court, you never felt like, you know, a 9-point lead was safe, you know?
Right.
Just because not only her ability to hit the three, her ability to get a rebound and to see an outlet pass and turn that thing into 2 points within 4 or 5 seconds as well was like, you know, that was, you know, they could pick. So really, really good game. I really enjoyed the whole, I mean, from the Elite Eight on, like, I, you know, the games that I watched, I really, really enjoyed. So shout out to women's college basketball and you know, what they got going. I'll be interested to see how next year operates. If it was just, you know, this year was just, because there was so many names this year, and next year they're going to need some of that same star power.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, and like you said, great game, great back and forth. It was tied at halftime. South Carolina started to separate in that second half. And while Iowa would make a run here and there, then South Carolina would kind of keep pushing it back out. And then finally, fourth quarter, the final, what, like 8 minutes, South Carolina created a bit of separation that Iowa just couldn't make up. You know, I sat on here last year. I did an episode with Reese after the Women's National Championship, and I talked about that. The women's game right now is more compelling than the men's game. More star players, more compelling storylines, and that rang true in this particular year. Caitlin Clark obviously took things over. Her versus LSU, her versus South Carolina, her versus UConn and Paige Beckers. Like, I hope that they're able to continue this positive, I'm going to say momentum, this positive momentum, and keep pushing forward. They're going to have a bunch of, I mean, you got Hannah Hidalgo, Malaysia Fulwiley. I'm trying to think who else, Juju Watkins, right? Paige Beckers is coming back to school.
Yeah.
They have a bunch of names that they can, that won't have the gravitas of Caitlin Clark. But if they continue to push those names, this sport is going to be, it is still going to be in competition with the men's game for the most eyeballs and the most people watching, right? To kind of turn the page to UConn, like, I think we've been had this back and forth about what's, you know, more exciting, more entertaining, women's or men's. And UConn is kind of like the early Spurs
of the
2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Ruthlessly efficient, and they're ultimately, that efficiency makes them kind of boring because they don't have a star, right? They don't have anybody that you're tuning in to watch. They play as a unit. They play really good team basketball. They have, in terms of their size, they have like an NBA lineup, right? Like, I don't think that they have anybody on their roster, at least who got significant minutes, who was below 6'4". Right, Alex Caravan is like 6'9". Might be
around 6'4", right?
I'm gonna see real quick. I'm gonna look at this real quick. Like, I feel like all the significant players, Tristan Newton is 6'5", Stephon Castle is 6'6". Okay, Hassan Diarra, he was 6'2". Caravan 6'8". Spencer 6'4". right? So you're looking at most of these, their key players, only one of them is below 6'2". Everyone else is 6'4 and above. And so when you have that kind of size, when you take on a team like Purdue, who has two guards who are smaller guards, right? It makes it really hard. And you can, they were able to successfully run a double team at Edie. And when Edie would kick the ball out to shooters to try to find someone, they were able to recover because they have that length. And that efficiency, while it from a legacy standpoint, right? We're going to talk about this as, you know, one of the great runs in college basketball history, but you're going to struggle if you're not a UConn fan to name a single player. Maybe Klingon because he has of the last name and the Kling Kong nickname.
Yeah, yeah.
But definitely. You're going to struggle to name. You'll name the coach. We'll all know Danny Hurley. But hopefully, at least for the men's game, when thinking about them versus the women's, I'm hopeful that Duke next year, oh man, I'm blanking on a young man's
Cooper
name,
Flagg.
Number one player in the nation, Cooper Flagg, that he comes in and he is polarizing. Part of what, I'm going to be honest here, let's have a bit of honesty, part of what made Caitlin Clark's story so great was, yes, she was talented, but she was also white. That factors into this conversation. And we need, and I'm as a, listen, this is a black man saying this, we need a polarizing white men's player for America to rally behind. Because if we can get that, people are going to watch. I'm just tell the truth. Keep a spade, people are going to tune in and watch. And so if Cooper Flagg comes in and he can be hateable, like if he can come in and be cocky, he could be the first hated Duke player since J.J. Redick. People hated Grayson Allen because he was tripping people, right? Not because he was a great player. If he can come in and be great and be polarizing, so meaning people love him and hate him, that is the best thing for the men's game. I want to bring up this one last question for you. So I have the clip somewhere. I'm not going to pull it up. Part of what made the women's game is that it was on the same, starting to get on the same level as the men's game is because they stay in school for 3-4 years. Like there's a rule that you have to be 4 years removed from high school before you can go to the WNBA. So you said, well, I don't know. My thing is that with the portal, with the one and done rule in the college game, it makes it harder for casual fans to follow the game. And if you're not a diehard, you don't know who's where from year to year, right? So to me, what do you think about that? To me, this idea that the women's game is starting to creep up in popularity because you know that Paige Beckers is at UConn. You know Hannah Hidalgo is going to be at Notre Dame for 3 or 4 years. You know that Caitlin Clark is at Iowa, which really, she didn't really burst upon the scene until her junior year. I think she was kind of like she was a story within women's college basketball her sophomore year. But her junior year is when she really took off, right? And then knowing that she was going to be there for another year, now you have somebody to follow. Like, do you agree with that thought, that the women's game is gaining in popularity because you have these women who are playing in the same places year after year?
Yeah, oh, definitely. You know, the consistency and just the constantly, like you said, knowing what to watch for is huge, especially with the transfer portal and everything that we got going on with college sports. At this point, you know, you might not even know your own team going into the next year. And that might be the team you root for. You know, that's kind of where I'm at. We laughed at John Calipari's introductory interview yesterday where he told Arkansas, I met with the team. It was Hunter. It was just him. He was the team. You know what I mean? And that's the day and age we live in, you know? And so, yeah. But there's always the pros and cons to each side of it, you know, because you do have a handful of the Paolo Banqueros, you know, where you're like, I don't think you needed to stay longer than a year. You know what I mean? I think you played a year and you were ready to go. You know what I mean? Brandon Miller is a guy that I think he was just ready for the NBA. You know, I mean, if he stayed another year, I don't know that he's going to be that much more ready. But then you talked about, you know, some guys like Kobe White and, you know, some different guys that, you know, I look at a lot of the guys that played at Tennessee that are not even in the league anymore. You know, Kennedy Chandler and Keon Johnson and guys like that. This is like, yo, this whole idea that I can leave after 1 year, it does cripple a lot of people's, you know, legacy. But the NIL these days, too, it's kind of like, why not? You know, like, why not? You know, why not stay 2 more years? You can actually make money, you know what I mean, in your sophomore year. you know. I do think that, you know, that's the case with us knowing that Paige is back and Hidalgo's back. There's probably a couple other girls. I know Cameron Brink's gone. I know even Full Wiley's gonna be back, which she's really fun to watch. but yeah, knowing that some of these girls are back, you kind of have the idea of like, this is what I want to see. Now, I do wish, and I don't know, I could be wrong. I do wish that somehow women's college basketball could be like, okay, we're going to put together these preseason matches of these teams. You know what I mean? Like, they're not preseason, but we're going to put together the UConn versus Notre Dame, you know? Like, I know, because I know in college sports, a lot of times you schedule years in advance, you know? But to keep that ball rolling for women's sports, I would love to know that, you know, before conference play, we were going to get Hidalgo versus Beckers. We were going to get, you know, Full Wiley versus, you know, NC State. I don't know if the girl from NC State, she's actually pretty good. I know Deja Fair from Syracuse is gone. But there's, you know, there's some names there that I'm just like, oh, I'd love to see this battle, you know, and I wish they could capitalize off of it like that, you know. but yeah, as far as the whole, you know, one and done in college, with the transfer portal and everything now, everything's just really kind of weird. People talk about the transfer portal and then all this stuff is like how it's ruining college sports, and it hasn't ruined it yet for me, because when I still watch, I'm still as invested as I used to be. So no matter what, when my team is on the field, you know what I mean, I don't have a feeling of like, you know, but it is just, it's tough, man. It's really tough to see, you know. You're muted still.
My dad says, I think they should have to play at least 2 years. I think 2 years is fair. Like, I would personally like to see the NBA or institute a 3-year. Because, again, I do think while, the young man you just mentioned from Alabama, Brandon Miller, he has come, like, you've seen him grow and get better as the year's gone on. But if he stayed and continued to develop his game for 2-3 years, I use the Kobe White example because you're right. Kobe White is in his fourth year. He's going to be up there for most improved. How good could he have been had he stayed at Carolina for at least just another year? I'm not necessarily saying he needed another 2 years, but continue to raise his stock, build his profile. And listen, I'm never going to be against guys going and getting their money, right? Like, this is a selfish thing for me, right? To some degree of wanting to see these guys get better, grow their profile so that when they step into the league, not everybody's going to be Zion. Not everybody's going to be Cooper Flagg, right? Not everybody's going to be, I want to pick on Harrison Barnes. When Harrison Barnes came out, you know, he kind of had like this whole branding. This is before NIL, but he kind of had the nickname. I think he called himself the Falcon, the Black Falcon, I think. Right. He kind of had this nickname. He was seen as a one and done. And I think Harrison did leave after 1 year, but he could have used a second year for some seasoning and to work on his game. So selfishly, I want those guys to stick around because it presents the opportunity for them to get better and to step into the league as more of a household name. And you're more of a finished product where you're not necessarily drafting on potential, because I'm gonna be honest, like I looked at a mock draft yesterday. All due respect to Robert Dillingham or Reed Shepard, Stephon Castle. These are talented young men as freshmen. They're not going to be difference makers for the team that selects them. And it's just like, I want to get product people I can plug and play day one. If I'm trying to win a championship, like if you're a team like the Rockets and you've got, you know, Jabari Smith Jr., you got Jalen Green, right? You got Cam Whitmore. You got 3 or 4 or 5 guys already, all of the age of 23, 24, 25, or under 23, excuse me, who are growing and trying to get better. Why would I go and get another?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I look at a guy like Dalton Connect and go, you're plug and play?
Right, yeah.
Right? Like, we're looking to get better right now. We can plug you in. You're going to give us maybe 8 to 10 points a game, play between 15 to 22 minutes a game off the bench early on and be a contributor towards a team that is they missed the play in this year, but I think they're a team that is ascending, especially given how terrible they were the year before. Ime Udoka is a good coach. And to me, you want to continue to add more mature pieces and not pieces that, well, we got to wait and see for 3 years. So I don't know, man. Like We don't really have time for that, so I'm not going to get into it. We'll say I have a question about One and Done, but we'll save that for next week.
I have one question before we go, just to kind of mix the two, since we've talked battle rap and we've talked women's college sports. Of these three women battle rappers, who would be the best women's college basketball player? Ready? All right. 40 Bars.
Okay.
Vixen the Assassin.
Okay.
Or A-Verb. Yeah, if you put these three women, which one's leading their team to victory?
I'm going to go the J. Cole route. I'm going to do what J. Cole should have done.
Yeah.
And I'm going to respectfully decline to answer your question, sir. If you would like to answer the question, you are more than welcome to answer the question. I am going to bow out of that.
The answer is Vixen. The answer is Vixen. All right. I'm taking Vixen in the post all day. Let's get to these NFL draft picks.
There is something to be said about playing in the post and backside, but we're just going to move on. All right. We're going to move on. Oh, gosh. You're such a troublemaker.
Always.
You're such a troublemaker. And guess what? I would not be clipping this and sharing it. So if it gets clipped and it gets shared, it's because of you or someone else has seen this and decided to point it out. Not
got some material for the spaces this weekend.
Oh my gosh! All right, man. Yeah, let's get into these picks. Let me see if I can share this screen. Let's jump into this draft. We got what 12 more? I think we got 12 more picks to make here.
No.
So if you've been following us, we have been going through the NFL draft, giving our picks and our mock draft as we count down towards the NFL draft, which is 2 weeks away. We're working on some things for the draft. We'll see how that materializes.
I put another TV back here so we can, you know, draft boards if we gotta, you know, have nice visuals.
That's what's up. You can see this screen, right?
Yep, I can see it.
Fire. All right. So as you can see, we are on pick 21. The Miami Dolphins are on the clock. They had a big loss in the offseason. They lost They lost Christian Wilkins, who signed with the Raiders, I believe.
Yep.
They have a huge hole in the middle of their defense. And so, you know, as their third, also at their third wide receiver, they had Braxton Berrios, which decent wide receiver. I know they show tight end. I mean, they went and got
– if Brock Bowers is there, he's going to Miami.
No, he's already been drafted, right? Brock Bowers went to Tennessee. True.
If he's still there, that's the pick that Miami's taking.
So here's the thing. I feel like Miami is always in need of offensive linemen.
Always.
And so to me, you can see right now we have J.C. Latham from Bama. Although I did a somebody posted like a kind of an overview of Alabama offensive linemen. And boy, let me tell you, it's not pretty.
Is it?
It's like, it's not. I wish I'd saved the tweet, but like, it's like two hits and like 10 misses. Like none of these guys have fared well at the next level. So you got Amarius Mims, you have J.C. Latham, but hold on, there's more.
Oh.
We got Jerzon Newton out of Illinois. Jarrett Versey's an edge, but I think he has positional versatility. And here's the other thing about Miami. You got to remember, both of their edge rushers had suffered lower leg injuries last season. So Jalen Phillips and I'm forgetting about the young man they got from the trade in Denver. I'm blanking on his name. But both of those players, let me see if I can pull it up here. Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb.
Yeah.
So do you go offensive line or do you go Jarrett Verse here?
So to me with the Miami, this is a pick that you need. Like I don't think Miami has the ability to miss on picks. Like they're still playing catch up in the AFC. You know what I mean? And like, to me, like Jarrett Verse is the, all right, I don't think you're going to miss on this pick. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not too familiar with the offensive lineman, but I do know Amarius Mims has a lot of high ceiling. I've seen some things on him. So I'm probably going to go with Marius Mims or Jared Verse. I'm not familiar with Jerzon Newton either. So, like, I can't really speak on him, but he definitely feels a positional need for them. But to me, I think Miami's in a spot to where you can't be like a who? Like, wait, you reach for that or you did whatever? Like, bro, you guys are – you know, there was a window. There was a window for y'all. You know what I mean? And it's you better do something if you want to be able to succeed in the AFC these days.
All right, so you're thinking they need to go.
I'm going Jared. In my opinion, it's an offensive lineman or it's Jared Verse. But I'm just not very familiar with Jerzon Newton. So
I think, given the fact that those this is really tough. Like I often make the joke that I could do this job, but I'm going to say we probably should go offensive tackle.
Okay. You want to go Latham or Mims? Because you just gave us a spiel about Alabama.
This is true. I mean, but you have to be careful. You can't fall into this trap of, you know, well, the last Alabama guy stunk. Because honestly, Jedrick Wills is one of the Alabama guys.
USC quarterbacks.
We're going J.C. Latham. J.C.
Latham it is. All right,
so next up, the Eagles. Right, so the Eagles had an interesting offseason. Let me pull up their depth chart real quick. They lost, obviously, their Hall of Fame center in Jason Kelce. Let me see what else they got going here.
What if the Titans still had A.J. Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, and Calvin Ridley?
Listen. To me, they went and they got Bryce Huff from the Jets. But they traded away. I can see Hassan Reddick. I think they sent him. Where did they send Hassan Reddick? Was it to the Jets?
Yeah, I think it was to the Jets.
He went to the Jets. So I think they this is where Jared Verse his slide stops here. What do you think?
I think it's they just been drafting so much defense lately. But, I mean, that's the another thing. You remember last year they picked, like, six Georgia guys. Or in the last 2 years they picked six, you know.
Now, if they want to be consistent, they could go on Marius Mims and get another Georgia guy. If they want to be consistent.
This is very true. I like Jared Verse here. Brandon Graham retired, right? Like you said, they traded Hassan Reddick.
No, Fletcher Cox. Fletcher Cox retired.
Oh, Fletcher Cox
retired. Brandon Graham re-signed.
Resigned,
yep,
okay.
Yep. I mean, they could, and plus they already got Jalen Carter and
I think the Eagles will be thrilled if Jared Verse is here at 22.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They could also go Nate Wiggins because, you know, corner was an issue for them last year. James Bradbury is still there. So just throw that out there before we. So what do you think, Verse or Wiggins?
Oh, Wiggins on a Verse. Sounds like a punchline. I think I should write it down, actually. But then there's Mims underneath who has never been wigging on a Verse, and this is why I'm hot. So I think I'm going Jared Verse. Yep, I'm going Jared Verse.
All right, we'll go Jared Verse.
All first verse.
All right, so. The Vikings are back on the clock again. They had a pick earlier in the first round. This is a pick that they traded for about 2-3 weeks ago with the idea that they potentially are going to package their pick that is, 11 and 23 and try to get inside the top 10 to get their guy at quarterback. But we've already given them J.J. McCarthy in this mock.
Right.
So
this is the Wiggins. This is the Wiggins pick, in my opinion.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right. Let me real quick. I'm gonna look at their depth chart just to make sure.
Guard, center, D line. I mean, this Newton guy though. I keep sleeping on him. I don't know why he's just falling because I'm not familiar. You know.
Yeah, I would say
it might be the Newton kid.
Man, so could I interest you in Leatu Latu? I don't know if I'm saying that name right. At some point, I'm gonna have to learn how to say it right. But they lost Danielle Hunter. Now, they went and signed Jonathan Greenard from the Texans in free agency.
Yeah, yeah.
But right now, Jerry Tillery is their other defensive end. And I could see...
Okay, I'm not mad at that. You're taking all edge right, so over we'll go, interior?
Yes, edge over interior. And he's really good. He's really, really good. And so finally...
This is actually that is, a forfeited pick because Cowboys are somehow going to not get their pick in time and continue to do what they've done through free agency. Absolutely nothing.
Hey, this is – that's wild, right?
Is your pop still listening? I'm pretty sure that he has thought more about adding players to the Cowboys team than the Cowboys actually have.
I'm looking, yeah. Well, Osa Odigizuwa. Okay.
We know we're not taking a running back in the first round, so that's not happening.
True. True.
The wide receivers, they got CeeDee Lamb. They got, I don't know if Gallup
resigned. Brandon Cooks.
Did Gallup
resign? Jalen Tolbert, Brandon Cooks, the wide receivers. Somebody named Racy McMath. I think Racy went to LSU.
Was Gallup a free agent? He signed anywhere?
Yes. I think Gallup left. I think he signed with somebody. Hold on. Let me see. He was released by the Cowboys.
Okay. I don't even like Gallup. Maybe it's injuries and stuff.
Injuries really did him in. Hold on real quick. Let's look at wide receivers. What we got at wide receiver right now? So we got A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Worthy is all the way down here. I don't know, not sure why, but you got A.D. Mitchell, Keon Polk,
the kid from South
Carolina. You want to go wide receiver here?
I like the kid from South Carolina a lot, but I don't know where he's at. Xavier,
right here.
You heard the interview with him too? You hear the way he talked?
Country he is.
Country.
Like, Xavier Leggett sounds the like he sounds like a caricature. Like he's that like he sounds like when actors get on TV and try to portray like people from the South. Like that's what he sounds like. It sounds like it's not real.
I heard that they were gonna do like a I don't know if it's an updated or like a I don't know, but it's like a new King of the Hill. And I'm just like, yo, he needs to actually go. He could be Boomhauer, or he could be somebody like.
Dead. He could be Hank for all we.
Yeah. I'm not mad at taking A.D. Mitchell here. Yeah, and he's a Texas kid. That fits it honestly.
Yeah. All right. So last thing, because they did lose Tyron Smith. Got to marry Smith. Yeah. See, this is. I admit, like this is tough. Going through this pick by pick is a little bit harder. Then I imagine, but
they take them here. They're going to have to probably trade up and get a wide receiver in early second round.
I mean, it's so the wide receiver class is so deep, though.
Yeah, it's true because they got two. You know, they got Cooks and CeeDee Lamb, so they're not like.
Yeah, so they're not completely hurting, right? But I mean, so again, you want to have Labacon.
I think I'm changing my mind. I'm going with Mims.
I agree. I mean, Roman Wilson will be there. Ricky Pearsall is going to be there. Keon Coleman, Polk, McMillan. Nice. Sorry, didn't mean to click on that. You're going to have so many options. I've heard good things Walker about Javon. Walker is
to very possibly be.
Yes. Yes. So, we're in agreement. We're going to go.
Yeah, we're going Mims.
Mary Smims. All right, so it auto-drafted because I didn't select. You know what? Actually, the next time I do this, I'm going to select every pick in the first round so it doesn't do that. So I can just save this and not have to redo it every week like I've been doing forever. Think smarter, not harder, A1. All right, so that is our mock draft. We just added the following four players. J.C. Latham to the Dolphins, Jared Verse to the Eagles, Latu to the Vikings, and Amarius Mims to the Cowboys. You can check out previous episodes of our mock drafts and see what we've chosen and what we've done. And let us know what you think, man. What are we getting right? What are we getting wrong? What do you think? What would you have done in these situations? And until next week, stay tuned. Last thing, we're gonna get end on this. I probably should have made the segue after you made the A-verb joke. However,
RIP OJ Simpson. Oh no.
RIP who?
OJ Simpson.
I mean, I wasn't trying to go there, but yes, RIP to OJ Simpson. He passed away yesterday, and my dad did jump in. He said Dallas needs to take a defensive offensive tackle, and he also said that Dallas doesn't have any money.
Who's the profile picture?
That's my those are my nephews.
Come on, Pops.
Parson and Bryson.
You got to get Ethan in there. You got to be fair, all right? Come on, Pops. Get together. We're not doing this favoritism.
That's hilarious. But, yes, O.J. Simpson passed yesterday, and the internet obviously does what the internet does with lots of jokes, lots of people who are not related to Nicole Kidman or Ron Goldman, who seem to be happy that he died. I'll never understand that. But yeah, man, like I'll say this. As a young man, as a kid, I think I was 11 when the car chase happened, when him driving with Al Collins
I remember I was watching NBA LA and NHL playoffs. I don't even know. We didn't even have two TVs.
NBA Finals.
Yeah.
NBA Finals. Like, they actually cut into the NBA Finals to show the car chase. They had, I think, a split screen. Yep. And then a year later, when I'm 12, the court case happens during that summer. I'm in Louisiana. I'm visiting for the summer. And I just remember my grandmother was hot because she was trying to watch her stories. And this is the OJ case is the it is the impetus for the creation of Court TV, because they cut into live programming. Court TV was created because of what happened with the OJ case.
I believe that was my grandmother, because I remember it being, I think it was elementary school. You were 12. You're 2 years older than me. 2.5.
Yes. Something like that. I'm 41. I'll be 42 this year.
I'll be 39 this year. So yeah, this is about almost three. So yeah, but yeah. I just remember being at like the little area. It's not the principal's office, but wherever you go in and the secretary is sitting up there, whatever that office is. I remember hearing somebody say, OJ Simpson got acquitted. You know, I just remember that. I think it was elementary school though. I don't think it was middle school.
Yeah. I mean, that was just a crazy time. Like, again, if you get a chance, if you can go watch OJ Made in America, it's an ESPN documentary that basically details OJ's life all the way through. It shows how he got to where he was in terms of his thought process. And if you go watch the FX series that on the dramatization around the OJ case, listen, some of the best TV I've seen. Incredible, incredible acting, incredible, incredible scenes and moments. Very, very fire. So go check that out. But yes, OJ, RIP OJ.
Now, back to the segue. Right.
Chrome 23, Miami Knights got announced. There are 5 battles on this card. We'll start from the bottom and work our way up. First off, Shayrack versus Zan. I am familiar with Zan. I know she is part of the trenches, easy to Black Captains League. I am more familiar with Shayrack, so my apologies, Zan. I'm going to give you a round. I'm going to go 2-1. I think Shayrack is a very, very good artist, and I think Zan is going to try to prove a point, right? This is going to be her debut on the channel, on the Chrome brand, so I'm pretty sure she's going to come in. Actually, you know what? I'm going to take Zan at the upset. I'm going to say Zan 2-1. I want to take a risk on a newcomer.
Yo, shout out to Zan. You know, my mama's still watching, but Zan is a big fan of my mama, and I think my mama's a big fan of Zan. And so last time I saw her at the last Chrome event when Big K and Jazz battled, she made sure to pull me to the side and tell me how much she loved my mama. And she's a fan, and, you know, we just kind of had a good conversation. I also remember Zan because when I was preparing to battle K-Prophet, I referenced the bar in the K-Prophet battle. You know, her last battle was Panic Room, and she battled Zan on the Panic Room on Queen of the Ring. But you know what? Some people do have the same name, and I could be – but I think it was the same Zan. I don't know if there's two Zans. But anyway, I say all that to say yeah, I'm interested to see that battle. I'm not too familiar with Shayrack. I've seen her, you know, but I can't go back to a certain battle and say, she gets in a different bag. So I think it's going to be a debatable battle. And I'm going with Zan as well, you know, debut on Chrome. Trenches card is that same weekend. A lot of people going to be in there, heavy, heavy trenches. You know, I think it's going to give her some energy and give her that extra oomph to take the win.
All right, that's what's up. If you are so inclined, you can check out Shayrack versus Tony Blanco. which dropped on the Chrome 23 channel, which I, if I remember correctly, was a really good battle between those two. So
very
I'm going to refresh myself with that battle. All right. Next up, we got Shunya the Rapper versus E Heart. That's going to be a banger. I'm actually going to be excited to watch that one. I'm going to go E Heart 2-1. I think Shunya's going to be motivated, but I think E Heart, her rapping ability, I think it's going to be a little bit too much in this one. I hope that Shunya can get through clean. Obviously, there was a lot of debate during WODI about Shunya and, you know, her stumbles and chokes. Shunya, having met her for the first time at Chrome 23 last year, very personable, really nice young lady. And so I'm rooting for a dope battle, but I think I'm going to take E Heart 2-1 in this one.
I'm interested to know what kind of stage it is. If it's a big stage, I'm taking Shunya. If it's a pit style, I'm taking Heart. I don't know what kind of stage it is. So that's interesting. But I'm going to go to the other side of it. I'm going to take Shunya in the battle. I think Heart is very, very good. She raps very well. I think Shunya's got a little bit more in her tool belt. So.
Okay. All right, next up, Prestavia versus Shayna Ashley. I'm happy for Shayna. Again, referencing WODI, there was a lot of back and forth about Shayna. And I think a lot of what kept her from being higher is that she didn't have enough battles. So I'm hoping that this year she gets at least 4 to 5 opportunities to be outside against quality opponents on known leagues. And so Prestavia is making her return. I believe the last time she battled was on Chrome, right? That was that the card that you were on, right?
Yeah, she battled Official, yeah.
Yeah, so, man, this is a tough one. Prestavia's fire. Shayna Ashley, also fire.
It's going to be hard for me to pick against Shayna Ashley. I'm not going to lie. After watching the first two rounds against Rosenberg, like, she instantly became one of my top three favorite female battle rappers.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Shayna. Prestavia, because she's been sitting for a while, will there be ring rust, right? I think I'm going to go with Shayna on that one. I think, again, while she hasn't been – she had a third battle. I think shout out to Mike in the dungeon. He showed us it was on a league out in California against a gentleman whose name I don't remember. I watched the first round for both. But I'm going to go with Shayna. I think she's going to come to rap. I think she, based off what happened with WODI, also think she's going to be there to prove a point. But I also expect this to be probably my battle of the night.
Yeah, me too. This is the main event to me. This is the one I'm most excited to see. And I mean that, you know. But yeah, I love Prestavia. I think she's incredible. I thought she was really good against Official. I thought she's just really good against a lot of people. You know, so when she battled Yoshi, she was great. Man, it's hard for me to pick against Shayna Ashley after seeing her the most recently. And I do think this is another battle that is kind of like stage or pit. You know what I mean? Like I think that Prestavia kind of has a little bit of a rapping ability over Shayna Ashley, to where if this is a pit style with the energies everybody around or whatever, I could see her getting into pockets and, like, you know, kind of styling a little bit on Shayna. I kind of just feel like in stature and everything, Shayna can kind of like tower over Prestavia and kind of like, you know, even go kind of bully mode on her while punching and doing things, you know, that are really good. So I'm gonna edge Shayna Ashley as well.
All right, cool. Next up, we got, did I really close this out? I might have. Hold on 1 second.
Just be swamping.
It's right? Jade versus Coffee Brown. I'm gonna go Coffee. Although Jade, this is gonna, I'm not gonna say that. I think I'm gonna go with Coffee, but I think there's an opportunity for Jade to potentially catapult herself into conversations for even bigger names. Like, Jay obviously has respected resume. She battled Twerk. If it wasn't last year, it was in 2022. But I think this has, with a good, solid performance here, this has the opportunity for her to see some bigger names. So I'm going to go Coffee, but I'm hoping that Jay is going to show up, be very entertaining, like I said, show improve and earn some opportunities on some similar type stages and brands. Shout out to We Go Hard though.
I'm not sure if it's Coffee's debut on Chrome or not. But Coffee had an incredible year last year. She obviously finished, you know, top two of WODI for a reason. She went overseas. She took battles on the road. She performed against high competition. She's been in these big matchups like this plenty of times. She's battled Twerk. She's battled Geechee. She's battled, you know, shout out to Coffee. Her resume speaks for itself. You know, Jade is talented. I think she has the ability to win the battle. But just based off of kind of experience and just kind of the level in which I felt like Coffee was rapping last year, as long as it's stick to the same this year, I think Coffee takes the battle.
I'm looking here to see. I think this is her. Yes, because I'm looking at her verse tracker, which I believe is pretty up to date. Yeah, anybody can die, Battle League, the Riot, Beast Mode, Queen of the Ring, Premier Battle. So yeah, and she was on URL versus Twerk in her return last year. So yeah, so this will be Coffee's debut on Chrome. So yeah, I'm going to go Coffee. And now the card that is at the top of the bill, or the battle that's at the top of the bill, excuse me, A-Verb versus Swamp. This has been a battle that has been long talked about, long discussed. I'll let you start, set it off, sir. How you call it?
Yeah, I just don't see. I mean, I've seen A-Verb battle, you know, I thought against Shotgun Shug. Personally, I think that's still like his best as of late. You know, a lot of people think he did really great against me. I felt like I won all three rounds. I felt like he had some moments, you know, a few bars here and there. A lot of it was, you know, crowd in the building, you know, just loving, wanting to see A-Verb rap. His material against Mickey Fax was good. I mean, it was solid. But if we're not going to get, you know, I mean, I didn't like his material against Ill Will. I didn't think it was very good. I thought it was, you know, pretty standard, whatever. But if we're not going to get an A-Verb that was like, you know, kind of that Shotgun Shug or better, I just don't think he has the ability to compete with somebody that's like Swamp. You know, I think Swamp is just too good and, at battling, you know, and I don't see Swamp losing at all. I see him winning clearly. You taking Verb? Are you taking Verb? Is this the last episode of the podcast? Is this our season finale?
To be fair, I did take Verb versus Will in the prediction. I had Verb 2-1.
We did those.
Watching that battle, he to me, Will won all three.
Mm-hmm.
I think to me, I know a lot of people mentioned Verb's first as his best round. I thought his third was his best round. And the problem was that I feel like Will had an angle in his third that was just better execution, better bars, better round. Man, you know, Verb has a way of,
oh, I could finish
in the lead up to,
I can finish that sentence for you.
In the lead up to battles, of placing talking points that gets stuck in your head. And if you are not like a super fan, so like obviously when he battled you, there are lots of talking points that he had where I'm just like, guys, just a simple like browsing of Ward's resume will show you, right? So he went with the white boy angle against you, that you lose the white boys. He went with the, you have ghost writers, you have a writing team. He went with nobody knows you. You're not from Kansas City.
Right.
And he's taking some of the same angles, right? He's already went with the Swamp has riders. He's went with nobody knows you from your spot. And now he's gone to an angle that I think has some merit, which is Swamp chokes. Now, granted, I don't keep up with Swamp's career enough to say, like an LTBR stat and go, hey, in Swamp's last five battles, he's choked in 35% of them, right? I don't know that off the top of my head, but that particular talking point is staying with me a little bit. Swamp has wanted this battle for a minute. I'm going to take Swamp. I'm going to say Swamp 2-1 because I think, to me, Verb had the motivation. for you. I thought he would be more inspired versus Will, because I do think that was a legacy battle. I don't know where he gets the motivation to beat Swamp. He's not going to choke. He's going to get through his rounds clean. He's going to wrap his material. I just don't see where he, to me, this is a pay verb type battle for him. I'm getting paid well. I just don't see where he finds the motivation to battle Swamp. Like, Swamp is just a name on his check. This means everything to Swamp. If Verb loses, I'm still Verb.
Yeah.
He's still going to say he won.
Look, we're still he's going to do the same thing with Chef Trez after he's done with Swamp. You know what I mean? And try to build up the Chef Trez battle and, you know, do some other, you know, he's just, yeah. And you're like you said, it doesn't matter. He's literally going to, you know, he's going to go in there and he's going to tell everybody in his spaces that Swamp choked and Swamp didn't choke. Like, and he's going to have them like, you know, like, he'll just completely lie. And then everybody will be like,
yeah. I mean, I think against Will, there are moments, though. They're just not consistent. And I went after that battle and actually watched like a best of A-Verb, right, from different battles from his on different leagues. And I just hope he can tap into some of what of those previous, some of his bars versus Briz, Arsenal. Obviously, Hitman was a more personal battle at home in St. Louis. B-Dot. Right. Like, I want him to somehow tap into those old performances, because when he does, he's really good and he's really hard to beat. Yep. But yeah, I don't know. I just, like I said, the Swamp choking thing is sticking with me. But I just hope that Swamp, because this is a battle he's wanted for so long, he's chased for so long, that he's going to show up with three rounds and be clean. And if he does, I think he gets a 2-1.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe even 30.
Yeah.
All right. That's our show for tonight, man. We've been on for an hour and a half. So we appreciate y'all rocking with us. Tune in next week. We're going to come back with more, four more picks in our mock draft. I want to talk about one and done in college basketball.
Okay.
NBA playoffs will be, because I think there's only like two or three games left in the season for just about all the teams.
Yep. Sunday.
We're going to talk NBA, play-in games. I'm looking forward to the playoffs. Let me tell you, never mind. I'll say that when we actually get to the playoffs. Yep. But please remember, you can check every episode of It's a Black and White Theme by going to the podcast app of your choice. Give us 5 stars, subscribe, share the podcast there. You can also check us out here on YouTube every Tuesday, Thursday, around 7 o'clock-ish. Hit the notification bell, subscribe, hit the like button, share the broadcast, tell everybody. I forgot how to go. Tell a friend to tell a friend it's them boys again or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, until next time, it's been a black
and white
theme. And we'll holler at y'all next week, man. Y'all be easy.